Whatever happened to those miners in Chile? You remember, 33 of them were trapped underground for 69 days. Their rescue 4 years ago was watched by the world. It was a joyous time. And some people, you remember, said the miners would end up rich and famous. Our reporter in Chile, Gideon Long, who covered the rescue for us, has returned to the scene.
Well, I'm back at the San Jose mine. And it's a strange feeling being back here after that remarkable rescue. I'm standing on a hillside overlooking what was Camp Hope back in 2010. And this whole area below me was just a mass of tents and mobile homes and satellite trucks as the world's media poured in to report this story. And now there's almost nothing, just the bare brown hills of the Atacama Desert. And there's an eerie silence about the place, although you may be able to hear behind me the fluttering of flags, 33 of them planted in the desert soil. And there's a monument here too, just below me, a simple white cross and a plaque at the entrance to the mine, a memorial to what happened here 3 years ago. And what an astonishing story it was. What a cast of characters. Mario Sepulveda, the showman of the group, who brought a bag of rocks with him from the depths of the mine to give to his rescuers. Edison Peña, the Elvis impersonator. Johnny Barrios, who had a wife and a girlfriend waiting for him at the surface. And Ariel Ticona, whose baby girl was born while he was trapped and whom he named Esperanza, Hope. The capsule that was used to haul the miners to safety was called the Phoenix 2, and here it is, on display at the Regional Museum in Copiapó. It's a bit rusted in places now, and you can still see the scratch marks on it from where it was dragged up and down that escape shaft. And now I'm just moving inside the museum, and here, well, is a piece of history. This is the original note that the miners sent up from below ground to their rescuers, confirming that they were indeed alive. In bold red letters, it says, "Estamos bien en el refugio los 33." We're all okay in the refuge, the 33.
But are they okay now? I went to see Omar Regardas, one of the 33. The last time I met him was just a couple of days after the rescue.
Adelante. Muchas gracias. Qué bueno verte de nuevo.
Aquí estamos todavía.
Omar still lives in the same modest house. He's in good shape for a man of 59. He has a large, loving family, a wife, 5 children, and 18 grandchildren. And yet, Omar has a problem. He can't find a steady job.
I'm coming up for a year now without work. I'm just doing bits and pieces to try to survive, and many of the men are in the same situation. Companies just don't want to give us work. Because of the accident, we became well known. We're in touch with the press, with people in government. So I think companies see that as a threat. They think that if there's a problem at work, we'll go knocking on doors.
Unemployment. It's a recurring theme for the 33. A couple have gone back into mining. Some work in construction. A few have bought vans and trucks and used them to run errands. But many are jobless. And that's not the worst of it. Some are grappling with demons from their past. In a cafe in Copiapó's main square, I meet Carlos Barrios, who was 27 at the time of the rescue.
For the first 2 years after the accident, I was fine. I wasn't in any pain. I had a job, and then boom.
Carlos suffered a relapse. He had to quit his job at one of Chile's biggest copper mines and has been on sick leave for a year.
They gave me brain tests and the results weren't good. They sent me to Santiago for treatment, but the psychologists just gave me pills, pills and more pills. I became addicted to pills. I'm still taking them. I have nightmares, a fear of the dark. I have a young daughter now, just 5 months old, but I can't sleep with her in my bed because I wake up thrashing my arms about. Mentally, I'm still very fragile.
Most of the miners are still seeing psychiatrists. Many are on antidepressants. One has been sectioned in a psychiatric clinic in Santiago. At least two have had serious problems with drink and drugs.
Well, I've come to a bar in Copiapó now, and I'm here to meet Alex Vega, the 10th of the miners to be brought to the surface.
Alex tells me that he too is seeing a psychiatrist. He forgets things, he can't concentrate, and he suffers mood swings. And he feels let down by the Chilean authorities.
I've lost all faith in the government. They promised a lot of things. They gave a pension to 14 of us, the oldest 14, but the rest of us, we were just left there. They promised us dental treatment because the water we were forced to drink from the underground tanks rotted our teeth, but that came to nothing. They promised to train us to improve our chances of finding work, but that didn't come to anything either.
Well, I've come down to the main morning fruit and veg market. They're selling everything here: tomatoes, avocados, olives, eggs, bananas. And I just wanted to get an idea of what ordinary people in Copiapó think now about the rescue of the miners.
Magdalena.
Yeah, so Gideon.
Magdalena works on a market stall and says she feels the miners have been neglected. The government says there's a limit to what it can do. A private association is in charge of looking after the miners' mental health, and compensation is a matter for the courts. The 33 are still suing the mine owners, but have yet to receive a single peso. In a few months, a Hollywood film crew will come to Chile to shoot a movie about the men. That should bring them some money. But will it give them peace of mind? 3 years on, Chile's 33 miners are not celebrities or millionaires as many had predicted. They're still wrestling with the trauma of what happened to them.
Gideon Long reporting.